Welcome to the install with Greg Cosell of NFL Films. We had a little time. Greg, did you take any time off after the season? Are you right into the college stuff?
I'm right into the college stuff. I got too much going on, Buck. I'm trying to grind. And, you know, the thing is I'm a one-man scouting department.
Yeah.
And I watch probably too much, but I don't feel like I know a player watching one game or two games. So I end up watching an awful lot, and it just takes time. And I take really detailed notes. So I don't let this just roll over me. So it really does take a lot of time. And every day I wake up and I'm like, oh man, I have so many players I got to watch.
Well, thank goodness, because yeah. Greg, since the season ended, my time has been occupied with Aaron Rodgers' Instagram post and is Tom Brady going to unretire? So I'm hoping for some in-depth, you know, substantive football conversation.
Well, Buck, to be quite honest with you, I'm not particularly interested in Aaron Rodgers' Instagram posts.
That's why I love you, buddy, because I cannot take much more of it, which is why we are going to stay far away from any of that. But, you know, I thought today would kind of be a good opportunity, Greg, ahead of the combine, because obviously you and I are both going to be in Indianapolis. Yep. It's going to be exciting. We're hoping for as normal a combine as humanly possible, and we'll see how that unfolds. But in the meantime, just kind of your approach to the draft, because, you know, as you mentioned, one man scouting department, basically, but kind of how do you evaluate, for the audience who may be unfamiliar,
right,
the talent that's going to be available and at the combine in Indy?
Well, here's the approach I take. And again, I think people who listen and you know that for me, it's not that I'm right, other people are wrong. I can only tell you my approach.
Sure.
And the way I look at this is, why are we doing this? We're doing this because we're projecting and transitioning players to the National Football League. That's the number one goal. That's what teams are doing. Mm-hmm. Now, they do it more specifically because they're doing it to try to make their team better. And so they're seeing players in the context of what their offensive concepts are, what their defensive approach is. But ultimately, you're watching players and evaluating players to project and transition them to the NFL. That's the goal. So look, obviously, you have to start with their traits, their attributes, and their characteristics. You start there. But there's very few transcendent players in a draft, Buck. And by that, I mean players that could play in any system and do anything that you would really like them to do. There are very few of those guys. So ultimately, you have to watch a player and think, where does he fit? How does he fit? What role will he be asked to play in the league? Think about defense in the NFL now. Now teams play base, they play nickel, they play dime. Some teams play with seven defensive backs. A lot of players play in this league. I learned that the hard way. When I first started doing this, I kept thinking about whether, if this guy's not going to be great, he can't play. And I learned the hard way that a lot of guys play in the league.
Yeah.
And a lot of guys have roles. And a lot of guys are factors for given teams. So, you know, everybody, of course, is interested in quarterbacks. Everybody's interested in the first round. Everybody's interested in the initial mock drafts. But that's just the top of the draft. There's so many players that you watch, that I watch, and they're not stars. They're not guys, when I take notes, say, he's great at this, he's great at that. But they're going to play in the league. So you have to really kind of dissect that and try to figure out, hey, if a guy is a linebacker, is he just a baseline backer? Is he only going to play in normal down and distance situations? Can he only play stacked behind the defensive line? Hey, is this guy an athletic linebacker who's not going to play in your base defense? He's only going to play in a sub defense. You know, is this guy a corner, but he's better off playing in the slot? And that means he's not going to play in your base. You know, you have to try to work through all this. And nobody, by the way, nobody's right all the time.
Sure.
You know, we know what social media is. We know that as soon as you're wrong, everybody tells you that. And you know what? I'll be wrong. A lot of people will be wrong. And when I'm wrong, I'll admit I'm wrong. You know, sometimes I see things in a guy and I'm wrong. Sometimes I see the right thing in a guy and I don't feel he's used the way I would see him in the league, and it doesn't work. You know, so there's all kinds of reasons. But my approach when I watch players is, how do they project and transition to the league given the fact that a lot of guys play and they're not all stars.
Well, and I think that's, I'm so glad that you articulated that it that way, Greg, because I feel like people get so caught up in the names that they need to know at the top of the draft and specifically the quarterback position that you forget that the most important part of the core of your team is drafted in rounds, you know, 2 through 7, basically. And even those, I mean, if the guys at the highest level, the guys in the NFL franchises, if it's not a perfect science for them yet either, it's difficult for anybody to be expected to understand, to completely and accurately project what these guys are going to end up being in the league.
It can't be a perfect science because ultimately, no matter how much you want to talk about analytics, no matter how much you want to talk about measurables, it's still human beings evaluating human beings playing the game of football. You know, just because a guy's 6'3", 245, and runs a 4.44 40, and all that good stuff with all the extra stuff now that people do with the sports science and all that, you know, every sport has detail and nuance and subtlety, and there's reasons why guys play well and don't play well. There's many great athletes who end up not being great football players.
Right.
There's many guys who might not test extremely well who end up being really good players. And you can't just look at one thing or two things, and you can't, you know, and by the way, that's always a battle between scouts and coaches, because very often scouts will see a guy who's a great athlete, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work for a given team because the coach, maybe he doesn't fit the system exactly the way the coach wants it, whatever the reason. So you always get a push and pull sometimes between scouts and coaches. But which raises another point. Scouts are looking a lot at measurables. Yes, they're looking at how a guy plays football, obviously, but they're looking at a lot of measurables as well. Coaches think about scheme adaptability. Coaches see players, how does that player fit into my scheme? Because as I said, there's not 100 scheme transcendent players.
Right.
So it's how does a particular player fit into my scheme? And different coaches could see a different player totally differently based on that.
Well, and once you figured out his primary role, how much more versatility can he give you? Is he able to play special teams? Like a million different questions are going to factor into this. Greg, you brought up earlier that, you know, when you initially started scouting players, that you had kind of the realization that a player doesn't have to be great to be able to succeed.
Oh yeah, I learned the hard way, believe me.
Is there one kind of guy's career that kind of crystallized that? Because it seems like when you say you learned the hard way, I'm kind of curious if there's a particular player that comes to mind.
You know, I've seen so many guys, Buck, that it's hard for me to say that because each year I watch between 200 and 250 players in detail. So it's hard for me to say, hey, here's the one guy that really, I'm sure if I went back through all my notes, which would take me 3 hours, I could find guys like that.
Yeah.
But I've been wrong. Believe me. It's just the nature of the business. But I think I have a pretty good background in doing this. I've spent a lot of years talking to coaches and personnel people. And maybe the audience doesn't know this, but a lot of coaches call me and they want my opinion on players because they know how I do it. See, to me, it's about the process.
Yeah.
If you do the process right, sure, you're going to be wrong on players. Of course you are. But if you do the process right, then at least the reasons that you give for why you feel a player has a good shot to transition well, or maybe not as good a shot to transition well, at least those reasons are pure, you know, and I think that people who know what I do, including coaches in the league, understand that I do the process the right way.
I know it's why people value the analysis so much, because they understand how you go about it. And it's explained in such a way that almost everybody that's even remotely familiar with football can understand it. Greg, I was talking to Coach Dave. We reference Coach Mack a lot. Coach Dave McGinnis, Titans Radio, obviously here in Nashville.
One of our favorite guys. I've known Mack for 30 years.
Well, and I want to kind of hit on that because it's my understanding that you guys have spent some time together, particularly at the Combine, doing things like scouting players. And I wonder if you can kind of explain to the audience how all that came about.
Well, I've learned so much from him because, see, you know, the thing that I the approach I take, and then I'll get into Coach Mack. Sure. The approach I've always taken is that I want to keep learning and learning and learning. I've always taken the approach that when you think you know, that's when you don't know. So I've spent so much time over the years just trying to learn more and more. And every year when I talk to coaches, they say something in a certain way and I go, wow, that's awesome. You know, I kind of knew that, but the way you just said that, it just crystallized it for me so much better.
Right.
And you know, I think one of the reasons Coach Mack and I have had a great relationship, and he would tell you this, going back years and years and years, is when we met, and this probably, like I said, he was, I mean, this is in the 90s for sure. You know, sure. I can't remember the exact moment, but he understood that I just wanted to keep learning and learning and learning. And, you know, whether it's from Coach Mack, whether it's whoever it's from, I never take the approach when I talk to people that I know. I listen. I try to learn from everybody I talk to. Now, Buck, being honest, do I know a good amount? Yes, I do. I've been doing this a long time. I've learned from a lot of good people. I sit here with my TV and I'm pointing. People can't see it. I've been watching coaching tapes since 1991 or 1992. So I've been doing this a long time. But I always feel that there's so much I don't know, and I'm always trying to learn. I mean, Mack and I sit in the stands at the combine, and we just talk ball. And, you know, I listen to him. You know, obviously he's been doing this for a really, really long time.
Yeah.
And I just listen. You know, I've done that for years with different coaches. You know, I'll give you a great example. I mean, this is a great, maybe people appreciate this, maybe they don't.
I think they do. Keep going.
Kevin O'Connell was just named the head coach of the Vikings.
Right.
Okay. And he was obviously the OC for the Rams. And prior to that, he was the OC with Washington.
Yes.
Well, Kevin O'Connell, when he got out of football, thought he wanted to go into broadcasting. And he was in our broadcast boot camp here at NFL Films. And we haven't had that because of COVID for the last 2 years, but we had 13 of them prior to that. And I was an instructor in all 13. And to give you an example of some of the people who've been in it, Dan Orlovsky started. He was in our boot camp. But Kevin O'Connell thought he wanted to go into broadcasting. And he came to our boot camp. And we kind of hit it off. So I know Kevin. And he said to me, because it used to be at Films. And then it wasn't anymore, but it used to be for years. And he said, and he was such a football guy, he said, hey, can we go up to your office and watch some tape? You know, and I said, sure. You know, so we kind of hit it off, and then he decided to go into coaching. But I mean, it's guys like that. You know, these are guys that, you know, I've talked to throughout the years. You know, it just sometimes in a 10-minute little tidbit conversation, you learn something brand new, or something is told to you in a way that even though you knew what they were saying, it just hits you totally differently.
Right.
I had that situation with Mike McDaniel last summer when I was invited to a coaching collective out in California with a number of NFL coaches. And Mike McDaniel and I kind of hit it off and spent a lot of time talking to one another. And for people who don't know, obviously he was named the coach of the Miami Dolphins. And we just spent a good couple of hours talking ball, and he was showing me film. You know, it was phenomenal. And everything he told me, I kind of knew, but the way he explained it, I just learned so much. And I came away from that feeling like, wow, I know a lot, but boy, I don't know anything. You know, it was one of those, you know?
Yeah.
And so Coach Mack and I will sit in the stands at the combine, maybe have a meal together and just talk ball. And, you know, I come away from that and I always learn.
Yeah. I mean, it's anytime, and Mack's always been fantastic, no matter where or when you've dealt with him, but when you show him that you've got legitimate interest in what it is that you want to talk to him about, there's nobody who will give you more of their time than Coach Mack, man. He's been an invaluable resource.
He's not coaching now, obviously, but he's a lifer. You know, he's one of those guys. He loves ball. He can talk ball all day. You know, you knew when he stopped coaching, he wasn't going to be totally out of it. I mean, it's just in his blood. I mean, he's been doing this. I know he was in the NFL starting in maybe 84, 85, somewhere around there, but obviously he coached college ball before that. So, you know, he's a lifer. These guys live for this stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, in some ways I do too. You know, people who know me think I'm a little nuts with the hours I put in, but I mean, you have to be passionate about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. With that being said, Greg, now we'll get into more detail on individual prospects the further that we get into this process, but so far, just kind of based on your evaluations, what are your general thoughts about what this class has ahead? Because normally we gravitate towards the quarterbacks, and that is not the position that is probably the most talented this year.
Yeah, well, the way I do it, so it always takes me more time, is now I've been working through quarterbacks. I've done some wide receivers. I've done some backs. I haven't gotten to defense yet. And I know that a lot of the names at the top of the draft, people are talking about Hutchinson from Michigan and Thibodeau. You know, I haven't got Kyle. You know, some of these guys I looked at last summer from their previous year. Yep. So there's, I do have a familiarity with them. Like I did do Kyle Hamilton last summer. I know he only played 6 or 7 games this year, and I was super impressed with his tape. Just his size, his length, his movement skills were really, really impressive. But, you know, for this year, I haven't really gotten to defense just yet. I've been focused more on offense, and, you know, it's sometimes I jump around, Buck. Sometimes I stay on a position. You know, it's just kind of how I feel that day. You know?
Sure.
It's because, you know, I want to make sure I'm totally engaged. You know, sometimes I can't watch one position 10 guys in a row, because unless they're totally different, guys start to look the same.
Well, you know? Yeah, no, I imagine it's kind of like, I imagine it's the same kind of effect. You've been driving down a highway for so long, and all of a sudden the middle line starts to get a little blurry after you've been staring at the same stretch of road for so long.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, you know, sometimes when you watch, let's say, linebackers, unless there's a dramatic, dramatic difference, you know, you start to feel like, God, these guys are starting to look all the same to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I try not to do that. So I jump around a bit. Because like I said, there's only a few guys that either in a really good way or in a bad way will jump off and you go, oh, this guy's, he's just different. He's really good. Or, hey, this guy just, he's not going to play in the league. You know, then there's, for the most part, there's a big mass of people in the middle that end up having subtle differences and become team and scheme specific.
Yeah. No, the amount of variance, and it's a, I'm glad you brought it up that point specifically, because I think people really underestimate just how subtle the nuances can be at a particular position that can make all the difference in the world to one coaching staff, whereas another may value that trait or that skill set or that kind of recognition completely differently. And it changes that changes that player's entire future throughout the course of the draft process.
And one of the things I've learned also, because I had to learn how to do this, you know, I'll be the first to admit it, is you don't want to harp. I mean, you have to be aware of them, and I put them in my notes, but you don't want to harp and focus too much on the negatives.
Yeah.
You have to think, you know, I think Bill Belichick's talked a lot about this through the years. You have to focus on what a guy can do well. Now, that might mean, let's say if he's a defensive player, he only plays 14 snaps a game. But you want to focus on what a guy does well, you know, because as I said, not everybody is going to be really good at every. There's very few guys like that. So, sure, there's more guys who, when you watch them, you say, hey, this guy does not have great lateral quickness or change of direction. There's going to be more guys like that than are great at it, but that doesn't mean they can't play in the league. So you want to focus on what they do well and what that means for deployment within the league and within a given scheme. You know, not every corner you watch is going to be a great press man corner. That doesn't mean he can't play in the league.
Yeah.
You know, not every corner is great with his eyes playing zone. That doesn't mean he can't play in the league. You know, so you have to figure out what all that means and how that then translates as you project and transition him to the league.
Just as we sit here kind of in the early phases of it, Greg, understanding that you haven't quite made your way to defense just yet, and there will be more in-depth study as we, you know, we've got months at this point until the NFL draft. Your thoughts on the quarterback class in general? Matt Corral is the only one who I didn't see at the Senior Bowl, but there was kind of mixed reviews coming out of Mobile. There doesn't seem to be an outright franchise changing quarterback among this group.
Yeah. And I think that's where people get into traits and attributes. My guess is most coaches, most evaluators would have a very similar list of traits if they wrote them all down.
Yeah.
So then you have to decide, you know, what value you ascribe to certain traits.
Yeah.
And you also have to then think about system. It's funny you mentioned Matt Corral. I'm actually been in the process of watching him. I'll finish him up tomorrow because I normally watch 5 or 6 games. And then I'll watch, depending on the player, I might watch selected other things like third downs, whatever. You know, each guy is different depending on what I see.
Right.
I let the tape guide me. but, you know, what we see a lot in college and is RPOs, shotgun play action, quick rhythm defined throws where the ball comes out. You don't see a lot of drop back. You don't see a lot of full field progressions. That's not what college football is. So now you have to take that and you have to decide what that means as a player transitions to the league, because you can't live in the NFL on RPOs. You can do that far more in college. You can't live like that in the NFL. So the question becomes with someone like Matt Corral, and I'm very curious to see what his height and weight is, because he looks very small on film. So I don't know what he's going to be height and weight. My guess is he'll be 6 feet, 200 pounds, give or take. So, and I know that size for quarterbacks is not as big a part of the equation as it was 10 or 15 years ago. But you have
I think it's just a general question about durability, given that he's that size and has already had injuries.
Correct. And by the way, he ran a ton in college, and he's not going to be able to do that.
He's a tough runner, man. He's got to learn to live for the next down. He kills me out there.
No, I mean, he takes a lot of hits. He's super competitive, which is a positive. But he had a ton of design runs at Ole Miss. He will not have those design runs except situationally in the NFL. But so you have to think about, you know, what kind of offense are you going to run? Can you run an offense that is very RPO based? Can you run an offense that's purely shotgun and the play action game is purely shotgun? Can you do that in the NFL? Do you have to have a drop back game at some point where you're asking your quarterback to have more full field progression reading? How quickly can that be taught? Can the quarterback learn that, you know, in the way you want him to learn that? There's so many variables that go into it. You know, look, we just saw a Super Bowl where Matthew Stafford, he's a drop back quarterback. Mm-hmm. Joe Burrow is a drop back quarterback. Now, I'm not saying that that means that every quarterback that's going to be good in the league has to be those guys. But at some point in the NFL, there is a drop back pass game. And we've had this conversation about the Titans.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that at some point you have to have a drop back pass game in the NFL. So, you know, I think to me, from what I've seen up to this point, the quarterback whose college tape best reflects a smoother transition early is Kenny Pickett.
Yeah.
Now, I've heard people say, well, you know, he doesn't have a high ceiling. And I'm not trying to be sarcastic or a jerk, Buck, but I don't know what that means.
It's just something that people say, Greg. It doesn't actually mean anything.
You know, because I'll tell you one thing. I'm not comparing anybody to Tom Brady, okay, because he's the greatest of all time. But would people have said in 2002 that Tom Brady did not have a really high ceiling?
No.
I don't know the answer to that. They might have said that.
Yeah. We have no idea at this stage in their careers, depending on where they land geographically. It matters so much.
I mean, obviously, when you look at certain players, okay, Josh Allen, 6'5", 240, has a hose, phenomenal athlete. I mean, there's not Josh Allen's every year in the draft.
Right.
You know, there's not guys who throw it like Mahomes every year in the draft.
I imagine somebody like you, Greg, and somebody who takes as much time and effort to analyze this stuff, kind of shaking a fist every time that somebody would bring up Tom Brady in comparison with Joe Burrow during the Super Bowl run, because it's that kind of stuff that there is no comparison for Tom Brady. Like Joe Burrow and Tom Brady are going to have completely different careers.
Yeah, they do it stylistically. I mean, look, in the sense that Brady played his whole career not being a guy that had second reaction movement ability. He was a pocket quarterback. And there's 10 different things that go into being great at that.
Right.
And we'll end up talking about some of those as we talk about the quarterbacks, you know, as we continue with our podcast here, Buck. But, you know, if you're just looking at Tom Brady and let's say comparing him stylistically, I'm talking about, we know Brady's the greatest of all time, but that style quarterback to let's say Josh Allen, the immediate response is, oh, Josh Allen's better because he's bigger. He's got a gun. He can do more things. He's more athletic, you know? So is that why people say someone like Kenny Pickett, you know, that he doesn't have a high ceiling? I don't really know the answer to that. I mean, you know, Matt Corral, is he, can he run around a little more than Pickett? But Pickett, by the way, is a better athlete than people probably give him credit for. But
Vols fans know.
What's that?
Tennessee fans know. They saw that. That's he beat him with their legs.
He beat Tennessee earlier this season. Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember watching that game on TV, and I actually watched the tape of that game as well. Yeah. But, you know, so you get a lot of comments at this time of year, and you get a lot of comparisons. And, you know, for me, comparisons, Buck, if something pops into my head as I'm watching a player, yes, then I make note of it. But I don't watch a player, and then when I'm finished, sit at my desk for 20 minutes and try to think, who is he like? It either hits me or it doesn't hit me, because not everybody is exactly like someone.
No. Greg, there's a lot more meat on the bone. We got a lot to talk about. We don't want to get into all of it here, but I'm looking forward to getting up to Indianapolis for the combine, getting into the draft conversation with you, and appreciate your time.
Yeah, those are fun. Buck, as you know, you've been at the combine before. The combine's fun, great conversations. Nobody's stressed out. So it's a lot of fun.
No doubt. We got to get the Harry and Izzy's or the St. Elmo's trip in, and then all is right in the world. We can start talking football.
There you go.
See you, Greg.
Thanks, Buck.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draftaccess to register for free entry today.